I wish to bring greetings to y'all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be here gathered with y'all today. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your watch and your care over us. Lord, we just thank you for Jesus and what he did for us, Lord. Lord, we just ask your blessing, Father, upon your word. Lord, we ask that you'd fill us with your spirit, that you'd give us wisdom, Father, and that you'd help us be faithful to you. Be Connie, Lord, those that can't be with us, we just ask your comfort upon them. Help us again. Again, we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to John chapter 14. A blessing to listen to the boys' lesson this morning and the thoughts that were shared, the songs that we sang, just real blessings. John chapter 14, verse 1, we'll begin a reading there, just a verse or two, and then we'll skip down a little bit. But John 1, 14, 1, do not let your heart be troubled, believe in God. Believe also in me. You know, these words, we've heard them often. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. You know, that just him having to say that is an encouragement and a realization that there's going to be trouble. So many times we start out on our Christian life like we talked about last week, and we just have it all planned out in our mind or how we think it ought to be. And it isn't very long. The Lord just turns that all upside down. And the purpose for that is like one of the songs we sang, you know, about having trials and troubles. He's trying to work on us. He's trying to prepare us to fit in his kingdom. And like the boys talked about, it's not about us being happy. It's about us being what God wants us to be. And so often we become Christians so that we can have a good life, so that we can have a good family, so that we can do the things we think, you know, that we want to do, that it would help accomplish better things for our lives. Sometimes we think we become Christians so we don't go to hell, so we have a better eternal life. But the heart of all of those things is for ourselves, to make ourselves happy. And Jesus' words here says, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. We see the life that Jesus led, and it was, it ended him being crucified, hunted down, tortured before, mocked, despised, rejected, and he didn't need any refinement, but that's how the world treated him. And he did that so that you and I could have eternal life, so that we could learn of his example. Just had several long conversations this week with a person that wants to follow the Lord. And it's just so amazing that, and he's tried, and he's just had all kinds of troubles and struggles, and he's got a goal. He wants to be happy. And I've told him, you know, he just can't understand. Doesn't God want us to be happy? And, you know, it's kind of, doesn't sound quite right to say, no, he doesn't. Not for happiness' sake. It's like the, you know, it's I told him, I said, you know, a lot of times we can't be happy until we let go of the thing that's going to make us happy. And then what happens most of the time when we let go of what we're trying so desperately hard to find, you know, people have spent their whole lives pursuing something, happiness, pursuing being peace or at rest, and they spend their whole lives seeking after that, and it's not until the point they get to the point where they say, Lord, you can have it. I give up. And right there, they usually wind up finding what they had been looking for all their lives. Because whenever they give up on just for the sole purpose of them being happy or them being having whatever they want, when they give that up, that's the thing that God wants from us, is for us to give up that one thing that you will not give up. And that's what repentance is. You know, a lot of times we think repentance is, okay, I'm going to quit doing this and I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to quit being bad and I'm going to start being good. That's not what repentance is. That doesn't change who we are. All that does is just changes the outward appearance. That's why we have so much religion today, because people are, they get saved. Their goal before they were saved is to make themselves happy. And the goal after they're saved, supposedly, is to make themselves happy. That's not the goal of our lives. And this man that I'm talking about is so desperate to be free. He's been involved in drugs. He's been involved in alcohol. He's been involved in all these things. And he said, why can't I quit? I'm seeking God harder than I ever have. And we get down to the very point of lose your life. He thinks, you know, because things go bad, that's why he can't obtain these happy things. But it comes right down to it that there's something that he's holding on to that he just will not let go. You know, we'll read here a little bit later that Jesus talks about keeping my commandments. You know, we have a man in the Bible, we refer to him as the rich young ruler. He came running up to Jesus and said, good master, what must I do to be saved? You know, that's the question a lot of people in the world are asking. What do I have to do to be saved? Well, this man came running up to Jesus. He wasn't sneaking around. He came running up to him and said, Lord, he knew who he was. And he said, what do I have to do to be saved? And Jesus said, well, keep my commandments. And there's a lot of people go this route. They start keeping his commandments and start doing the things they're supposed to. You know, in the New Testament, we've got a new set of guidelines and things that God wants us to do and expects us to do. So people start applying that to the outward part of their life. And the young man said, you know, I've done all of that. And no doubt, I mean, he was a young, good, young Jewish man and just had done what he was supposed to all of his life and had been successful. And he said, I've done all of those things. And Jesus said, well, there's one thing that you lack. That one little thing. And he said, go sell everything you have and follow me. And you know, it's not about having or not having as much as the gospel is trying to point out that one thing in your life that you will not give up on. You know, a lot of times, sometimes it's somebody's done me wrong and there's bitterness, there's anger, and we're just holding on to that. A lot of times it's just a good life or just pursuing happiness, and we're just hanging on to that. A lot of times it's our perception of things and we're just holding on to what we expect or what we think. A lot of times we're good people and nobody else quite measures up, and it's just kind of aggravating to have to put up with people who aren't where we're at. And we're just not willing to give up on ourselves. The point is this man came to Jesus running and asked what I must do to be saved. You know, today I've told this before. How many churches in the world, there's people going to come up this morning to an altar and come running up or crawling up or sneaking up, whatever, to get up there in the altar and say, what do I have to do to be saved? And there's going to be some preacher say, well, do you believe Jesus died for you? Do you believe Jesus rose again? Do you believe His blood will cleanse you from sin? And they say yes to all these things. And they pat him on the back and say, you're saved. You know, if this rich young ruler were to be here today and come running up to an altar and be saved, he'd go out tomorrow and start writing books and going out and witnessing and telling other people about how he was saved and just go on living his life the way he always had. But when he came to Jesus, Jesus said that wasn't good enough. How many people are laboring today under some experience or something that they had that they think they're saved, but they've never let God touch that one little place in their heart? God, you can be my Lord. All of my life is yours. Except for this one little thing that I will not give you. You know, this verse says, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You know, one of the songs or one of the boys, I'm not sure, said something about, you know, about people having things and the rich young ruler was holding on to that one little thing that he wouldn't let God have. And that's the difference. And that's where the victory is. I don't know. You know, it's amazing. People want some big, fine answer to fix their problems. And I usually, when I'm counseling and talking with people and they get down to this one place that they won't give up, I just say, well, right there it is. Well, it's just like the man in the Bible that he had the leprosy and the prophet told him, go dip yourself 7 times in the river. And he, you know, his thought was probably, you know, that old dirty river, why would I do that? The very simple thing he just didn't want to do. And then finally he did. And he was cleansed. And that's, you know, following God is not some great mystery. It's right in front of our faces. The problem is we're not willing just to give it up and let God be in control of our life. You see, it's to have Jesus as the Lord doesn't mean you sit in church and praise Him for being Lord. It means that He's actually in the Lord of your life. That if you have plans on having an easy life and you give yourself to the Lord, and the Lord says, here, we're going to have a hard life for you now, you say, yes, Lord. You know, Jesus Himself, the night before He was crucified, He was in the garden and He knew that things were going to be very bad the next day. He said, Lord, if it's possible, take this away from me. This is Jesus. If it's possible, take this away from me. And he prayed until the drops came like great drops of blood. Sweating it out. Anguishing over what was going to happen possibly tomorrow. And then he finally said, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. And he surrendered it to the Lord. You know, the next day, it just amazed me, whenever they were nailing him to the cross, he's not fighting and kicking and screaming and telling people how righteous he is or who he is. He just takes it with peace. They crucify him. And at the end he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How could he do that? That's because he was surrendered to the Lord's will for his life and not his own. Skip on down to verse 6. It says, Jesus said to Thomas, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. Verse 7 says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Think about what Jesus is saying right here. Who was Jesus? He said, if you would have known me, you would have known the Father. If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. They're one. Jesus came in the flesh. He put on a body. God himself put on a body and walked this earth. And he lived out the life that God would live as a man in this sinful earth. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? Who has seen me, he who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in my Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You know, there's several of those verses people take off on. Oh, I can ask God anything and he'll do it. And then it says, then there's some that say, well, if I keep his commandments, that'll work. But they're missing. A lot of times we miss knowing him. And the only way that we can truly know him is when we've opened up our hearts, opened up the very thing that we won't let anybody else in, and let him in. That's how we know him. He's ready, willing, and able You know, some people say, well, why isn't God hearing my prayers? Why isn't he doing this? Or how could he not, how come it's so hard to be a Christian? You know, Jesus came into this earth and it took him dying to make us a Christian, so that we could have the power over Satan to live this life and to become a part of his kingdom. He had to die. And we want to just skate right in because he died. His very commandment says, following me, he said, if any man will come after me, he must take up his cross, deny himself. He must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Jesus was able to be who he was because he was who he was. He was the Father living this life. You know, we've talked about Jesus being the great I am. You know, that's I am. It's who it is. It's who I am. This is him. This is God. This man Jesus was able to live this life and do this because it's who he was. It was his very being. And he calls us to be. And I think this is where real Christianity and fake Christianity is separated most of the time. He calls us to be connected to him. To be the life of Jesus right now on this earth. Conversion is changing who we are. Not just the things we do. It's changing who's the Lord of my life from just being religious. We try the religious route and put on a fake face and a plastic face and look holy. Look down at other people. Make sure everybody looks like us before we can accept them. But that's all phony. That's not real. Whenever we come to Jesus and we can just be exactly what we are, because we have his Spirit living within us, and we can have his Spirit. We can be of him, just like Jesus is talking about here. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father but through me. You know, Jesus didn't make this hard. He made it available. It's not about hard or not, hard or easy. It's available. You know, I've told you all before, you know, how many things in my life I thought I had all figured out about being a Christian. Just to simply have my life handed back to me in ashes. Praise the Lord. Thy will be done, not mine. It's not about me. Not about anything like that. Thy will be done in my life. Whatever you see best, that's what it means. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe God. Believe also in me. We believe that God is good. We believe that His character is who He is. Why is it so hard for us to say, take my life and let it be? Only devoted, I can't remember the next verse, but to Thee. Take my life and let it be. Why? Because He's worthy of being trusted. You know, just think of, I think it was one of the apostles or one of the, he was an old man and there was a persecution going on and they brought him before the council and they said, just denounce Jesus and you can live. Otherwise, you're going to be beheaded or whatever they were doing to them. And he said, I've served the Lord for 90-some years, and He's always been good to me. Why would I denounce Him now? You know, it's just, it's so simple to trust God. And that's all it takes. That's why He talks about faith and He scolds them for the lack of it. Because they're not seeing who God is. They're not seeing His character, that they can trust Him to do whatever He wants to with their life. Raise it, wreck it, ruin it, write it, whatever. Thy will be done. Because I know in whom I have believed. May the Lord add His blessings. It's in our hands. It's in our hearts. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? Preached a message, something about giving up and just trusting God, and there was a Mennonite bishop came up and he said, you know, that just scares me to death, like it's an optional thing, that trusting God, it was just foreign. I mean, we got everything just packed in around us and it just goes good, but trusting God is scary to someone who don't trust Him. Anyway, all right, well, Lord willing, we're going to McDowell. We've got Brother Greg here from Florida. He's asked to be baptized, and so we're going to go to the creek, and he's got a desire to follow the Lord. Would you like to share anything, or just about a testimony or something? You're welcome to.
I'm speechless. I'm just grateful, and I can't thank everybody enough for having us. Just thank you.
Okay.
My wife. It's an honor to be here.
Praise the Lord. All right. Well, let's go pretty quickly so we can get right there. Y'all follow somebody. So. All right. God bless you all. Depart in peace. God be with you till we meet again.